You are standing on Rue Le Chaux in the 16th arrondissement, halfway between the Arc de Triomphe and the Bois de Boulogne. A short, quiet street, mostly residential, the kind of address where families with money have lived for 4 or 5 generations. The buildings are limestone town mansions with carved facades, wrought iron balconies, double doors painted dark green or burgundy. Number 21 is a 3-story townhouse. There is no plaque. The building is residential. People live there. Between 1942 and 1944, the man who owned this building was a licensed Paris physician named Marcel Pichet. He used the basement to murder at least 27 people, possibly as many as 60, and dispose of their bodies in a coal-fired furnace. He targeted Jews who were trying to escape the deportations. The GPS coordinate is 48.8740 north, 2.2885 east. Marcel Pichet was 45 years old when the occupation began. He had a respectable Paris medical practice in the 17th arrondissement. He had been the mayor of a small town in Burgundy in the 1920s. The record was less tidy than the practice. He had been psychiatrically evaluated more than once between the wars, briefly committed in 1936, and when a panel examined him in 1946, it doubted his good faith rather than his competence, so whether he was mad, malingering, or coldly sane remained an open argument at his trial. He had treated patients from the working class and the middle class. He had a wife and a son. He had a furnace. In late 1941, with the Statut des Juifs in force and deportations beginning, a market emerged in occupied Paris for what was called La Filière, the escape route. People with money and the wrong papers were looking for ways out, to Spain, to Switzerland, to South America. Smugglers offered passage for fees. Most of the smugglers were real. Some of them were Gestapo informers. One of them was Pichet. He told prospective clients that he had a connection to a network in Argentina. He could arrange false papers, transit through Spain, a steamship from Lisbon. The fee was 25,000 francs per person, roughly the price of a small Paris apartment in 1942 currency. Clients were instructed to bring everything they could carry. Money, jewelry, gold, anything they wanted to take with them. They came to this building, on this street, in the evenings. Pichet greeted them at the door. He took them down to the basement. He told them they needed a vaccination certificate to enter Argentina. He gave them an injection. The injection was cyanide. He watched them die through a peephole in a triangular soundproofed room he had built into the basement. For 2 years, the chimney of 21 Rue Le Chaux produced thick black smoke at irregular hours. Neighbors complained. The smoke had an unusual smell, sweet, organic, persistent. Letters were written to the local prefecture. The complaints were filed. Nothing was done. In wartime Paris, with coal rationed and people burning everything they could find for heat, smoke from a chimney was not unusual. The smell of it was sometimes bad. Letters about smoke from chimneys were not a priority for a police force whose primary work in those years was rounding up the people who would shortly be coming up Pichet's basement steps. On the morning of the 11th of March, 1944, the smoke from 21 Rue Le Chaux was so thick that it filled the entire block. The Gestapo took 2 hours to arrive. By then Pichet had been notified by an unknown route, returned to the building, identified himself to the police, and convinced them he was a resistance fighter who had been killing collaborators. He was released. He went into hiding the same day. The construction of the basement was eventually documented in detail by police investigators after Pichet's arrest later that year. There was a small triangular room with concrete walls, soundproofed with cork and pasted over fabric. There was a peephole into the room from an adjacent space. There was a fixed-angle iron, sloping toward a drain, on which a body could be laid. There was a separate room for dismembering. There was a coal furnace large enough to burn a human torso. There was a quicklime pit for slower disposal in the small courtyard at the back. The configuration was not improvised. It had been built deliberately, room by room, between Pichet's purchase of the building in 1941 and the operation reaching full pace in 1942. The valuables taken from the victims, money, jewelry, watches, fur coats, identification papers, family photographs, were stored in trunks in the upstairs apartments. When the police searched the building in late 1944, they recovered approximately 50 kilograms of personal effects belonging to people whose families had never received word of what had happened to them. The cash, gold, and jewels those people had been told to carry were never found. Pichet lived modestly, and where the fortune went was never resolved. Most of the victims have never been formally identified. Some of them were named in Pichet's own records, which he had kept for reasons that remain unclear. Some of them were identified by their relatives from photographs and jewelry. Some of them were never matched to any name. Pichet was arrested on the 31st of October, 1944, 7 months after the discovery of the basement. He had been hiding in plain sight, working as a captain in the French forces of the interior under a false name, treating wounded resistance fighters in the liberation hospitals. His trial began on the 18th of March, 1946. He was charged with 27 murders. He claimed to have killed 63 people, all of them Gestapo agents and collaborators, as part of a resistance operation. The prosecution argued that the actual victims were Jews and other refugees fleeing the deportations, that Pichet had no resistance connections, and that the operation had been a private criminal enterprise designed to take the savings of the most desperate people in occupied Paris. There is a paradox in the record that the courtroom never resolved. In May 1943, the Gestapo itself arrested Pichet. After an informer named Charles Beretta infiltrated his escape line, the one Pichet called Flytox, and held him roughly 8 months in Fresnes prison, where he was tortured, before releasing him in January 1944, by some accounts after a bribe from his brother Maurice. The defense built its case on that arrest, and the prosecution answered that no resistance network ever vouched for him and that the executions he claimed matched no known collaborators. The 1946 trial dossier preserves both arguments. Thomas Marder weighed them again in his 1980 account of the case, and historians still argue what that release proves. Both sides stand. You can decide. The jury convicted him on 26 of the 27 charges. He was sentenced to death. He was executed by guillotine at La Santé prison on the 25th of May, 1946. His last words, addressed to the executioner, were a request not to look at his face. He was 49 years old. The townhouse at 21 Rue Le Chaux was sold by the city of Paris to a private buyer in the late 1940s. The basement was renovated. The furnace was removed. The triangular room was demolished. The building has been a private residence ever since. It has changed hands several times. The current owners purchased it in the 2000s. The asking price for a comparable property on this street today is approximately 7 million euros. There is no plaque. There is no marker. There is nothing to tell you what was in the basement of the building you are standing in front of. Every cobblestone in Paris is paved over a body, a betrayal, or a building they wanted you to forget, and the names of the perpetrators are still on the metro stops. The neighbors complained for 2 years. The complaints were filed. Pichet was operating in occupied Paris, on a luxury street in the 16th arrondissement, with a furnace running irregularly and the smell drifting through the neighbors' open windows, and the only reason the operation ended was that on the 11th of March, 1944, he packed the furnace too full and the smoke became impossible to ignore. He killed at least 27 people. He claimed 63. The actual number will never be known. The building still stands. The chimney is still on the roof. People live there. Look up at the chimney before you walk away. From 21 Rue Le Chaux, walk back to the Charles de Gaulle Etoile Metro and take Line 1 eastbound to Bastille, then change to Line 9 toward Mairie de Montreuil. Get off at Charonne. Stand at the top of the metro stairs at the entrance on Rue de Charonne. The next stop is at this metro entrance, where on the evening of February 8, 1962, the police force commanded by the same prefect who had run the October 1961 massacre on the Pont Saint-Michel killed 9 more demonstrators. Recovered from audio the 30th of May, 2026, author only tight claim source nav lines not recoverable.